Hallelujah. We certainly praise God for all the helps as well as his enablement in carrying on this ministry. Amen. Let us have a word of prayer before I speak, and then we'll get into the context of the message. Let's pray. Now, dear and blessed Lord, our God and our Father, Lord, again, we thank you so much, Lord, for your presence. We thank you, Lord, for your grace, your mercy, your enablement. And we thank you, Lord, for life that is in Christ and in him alone. We thank you, Lord God, for all the component parts of this ministry and for your people abroad. Lord, that you have caused this ministering to reach out unto. We pray, God, your help and your enablement. Watch over those that are away from us, Lord, that are part of us. And we pray blessing upon them as well as these in our immediate presence. Bless your word, Lord, to your servant and to your people. Give illumination and enlightenment, O God, we pray, according to thy will, according to thy purpose, in this time. We ask it in the righteous, the highest name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Ellen Nickerson will be our designated reader for today. And we're going to ask that you turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, the first chapter, Ephesians chapter 1, and as an overall context, we're going to read from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. I have instructed the ushers to pass you out the document, and if anyone does not have the document, two pages entitled God's Sovereignty in Election to Salvation, please raise your hand and the ushers will assist you. We have more in the back. If everyone does not have a document. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Elder, if you will, you may read from the King James Version, because I have the exegesis of the main text before me. You may read.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
by the will of God,
mm-hmm.
to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus.
Faithful.
Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Now we see where the grace and the peace abides. It is from God. In the world, we don't have any peace, except those seasons of refreshing that the Lord enable us and allow us to have. But actual, abundant, abiding peace is only from God in Christ Jesus, where we actually abide. Read, Ella.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ.
You know where we'll clear that up? In heavenly places. You see it's in italics in your King James Version and most other versions. That means that it's not there. Italics mean a foreign word that's not part of the original text. Read.
According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
I know that needs some clarification, but Ella, would you read that verse 4 again, nice and clear?
According
mm-hmm.
as he hath chosen us in him
mm-hmm.
Before the foundation of the world.
Before the foundation of the world.
That we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
And right into verse 5.
Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself.
Where again?
To himself.
To himself. Uh-huh.
According to the good pleasure of his will.
Having predestinated us. Predetermined. All right. Read, Elder.
To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved.
If you belong to God, you don't have to be concerned about whether you're loved or not. The Holy Spirit has given you to know that you are his. Love is in the case. It's there. Always love from God is unto us. All right? 7.
In whom? We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace.
Great grace. Read.
Wherein he had abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence.
In all wisdom and prudence. He, God, our Father, has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence and understanding. From the document, God's sovereignty in election to salvation. One of the primary things that God's people have got incorrect or an incorrect understanding is the fact, the venue of our salvation. The venue of our salvation. God's sovereignty in election to salvation. Most of God's people think that they have to do something to get saved. The average child of God in the average denomination think that they have to do something to get saved and keep doing it to stay saved. Nothing could be further from the truth. Nothing. God's sovereignty. I want to deal briefly with the subject matter, God's sovereignty in election to salvation. Then we will look into the scriptural text that Ellen Nixon has just read, and then we will come back to the document. God's sovereignty in election to salvation. Ushers, everyone that come in, make sure that they have the 2 pages of the document. Sovereignty. It means supreme power or authority. Or it means possessing supreme, ultimate, none higher, ultimate, and regarding God, this word. Regarding God alone, this word. Sovereignty means absolute. Power and authority regarding God. No man has absolute, no group, no entity outside of God, other than God, has absolute power and authority. That is sovereignty. God has the absolute right to do what he has deemed according to his will in his creation. All of it. God has the absolute right over all elements, all individuals, all circumstances, and all conditions. God has the absolute right. And he has exercised that right in actualization. In other words, in bringing all things into existence by one decree. He has exercised his absolute right. He is the creator. He is not one of the creators. He is the creator of everything, the visible and the invisible. God is the origin. He is the agent. And he is the source of it. Every circumstance, every condition, every happening, every event, everything we call a mishap, and everything we call a success, God is the originator of it. All. Whether we like it or whether we don't like it. Whether we are ecstatic about it or whether we disdain it, God is the originator and the creator and the authority over everything in existence, the visible and the invisible. So God is sovereign, and he is sovereign over everything and also over election. And regarding election, election means the act or the instance of choosing. The act, election is the act or the instance of choosing. To put it bluntly, a choice. Elections mean choice. God chose some to salvation according to his will and his right as the ultimate and absolute authority, and he created some unto darkness, unto destruction, and to not be a part of his beloved. That is his absolute right. God's sovereignty in election to salvation. One of the most misunderstood entities of the believer and in the church world today is salvation. The entity of salvation or being saved. Simply put, salvation is our eternal relationship or sonship positioning in Christ or to God in Christ. Our eternal relationship and or sonship positioning in Christ Jesus by God. The Creator, the absolute authority. He has placed us as sons of God in Christ. And that does not happen when you come down and shake the preacher's hand or when you give a testimony of being saved or feeling different or experiencing different. Amen. That does not happen then. God made choice of us, as we shall scripturally see, in eternity. Salvation also is deliverance from sin. These are goodies. Deliverance from sin and its consequences, which is separation from God. Salvation is deliverance from that. Next, salvation is preservation. In the South, in olden time, we used to preserve fruit and the like. We preserved it to keep it, so it would keep. It would last. So salvation is preservation, preserving, or deliverance from harm, ruin, ultimate ruin, You might lose all your money and say, oh, my God, I'm ruined. Your business might go down. Oh, I'm ruined. Somebody might sue you. Oh, I'm ruined. Temporary as it relates to end time circumstances, processes. Processes would be the better word. That God has decreed that also. But ultimate ruin, no way. No way. Is preservation or deliverance from harm, ruin, or loss? I lost my job. I lost my money. I lost my health. I lost this. I lost that. Temporary. You cannot lose your eternal sonship position in Christ Jesus, where God has placed us in this dispensation. You cannot lose it. And ultimately, salvation means you are safe. You are safer than safe could be. You are so safe. This state is surrounded by several great lakes. Not just lakes. Great lakes. If they should rise above measure, and this going around about climate change, and I'm not saying that it's not. I'm just making an example. If they should rise or be caused to rise through the process of climate change and cover this state in water, we're still safe. If we lose this temporary physical existence, which we call death, we're safe. Because one day, anyway, we're out of here. We're out of these bodies that we have become so fond of. We're out of them, eventually. God's sovereignty in election to salvation. Now to our scriptures, to your Bible. Beginning verse 3. Saints, I don't know how long I'll be or how short, but one thing for sure, I'll be out of here and down from here at the allotted time. Verse 3, blessed, high praise, glory to God, high praise the God and Father. God is our Father. Most of us in here, men, have children. Most of us. And if we don't have biological children, we are father figures. I've observed it in the last, within 20 years. Some of us are father figures. But that is according to the flesh, and that will come to a cessation. But God is our eternal Father. He is. We are His children. We have His impress, His actualized impress upon us. We are first spirit. And God has manifested us, placed us in the created entity of time, and ultimately, in process of time, in bodies of flesh, and cause us to be progenitored from earthly fathers. But that will end. And that was not always. My father had a beginning in the flesh in 1920. Out of progeny, I had a beginning in the flesh in 1949. But that has a cessation and an end. God is our Father eternally. We are eternally His son position ones, safe in the body of Christ. Blessed the God and Father of the Lord of us. Of the Lord of us. Jesus Christ is our Lord. He's our owner. He tells us what to endure, what not to endure. He has decreed that. What to have and what not to have. What to attain to and when to hold back. He is Lord over all of our life. All of our temporary existence in the earth, in time, Jesus Christ has the authority and rule over every moment, momentous moment of it. He has the authority. If it's suffering, he has caused it. He has the authority. If it's excelling, he has determined it. He has the authority. If it's trouble, he has the authority. He's Lord. He's creator. Creation is in him. Not just by him or remote from him, it's in him. Mm-hmm. Blessed the God and Father of the Lord of us, and it names him Jesus Christ. The having blessed us in. I told you everything is done. We are God's pre-people. We were preordained. We were preserved. Mm-hmm. We were prepared. Mm-hmm. We are pre-glorified. We are pre-coursed. The course of our lives has already been decreed, set. Amen. It's been preed out. Yes. And we are going to go through everything that God has decreed for us. Hallelujah. He has blessed us in each and every blessing spiritual. Yes, finances are important. The economics and the food and provision for a temporary physical existence is important. But it will all end and will come to cessation. But the spiritual blessings. 2 Corinthians 4 and 18. We are not looking at, we are not prioritizing, we are not focusing mostly on the things being seen, but the things that are not seen. Because, it gives the reason. Because the things being seen are temporal or temporary. And the things not being seen are spiritual, and therefore they are eternal. So our prioritized position and focusing should be on the unseen. Mm-hmm. That is what is. That is what was before time and endures time, and it's gone nowhere. Eternity has gone nowhere. It hasn't been dissected. It hasn't been parted, as is sometimes taught in Christendom. How can eternity go anywhere? If it does, it's not eternity. He has blessed us with the greatest, with the most important. Each and every blessing spiritual. Those that will be around and have been around and are eternal. When all fleshly things are gone. When time itself has been no more. And you've read the book of Revelation. I heard it preached. Time will eventually be no more. And everything in time that was only put there for testimony and revelation unto us and unto creation. God put things in time to reveal his purpose, his will, and to magnify his glory. They are there. Everything is for the magnification of God's glory. Everything. Evil, atrocities, Everything. God has put everything unto His glory. Are atrocities bad? You betcha. Is evil bad? Yes. Is unrighteousness bad? You betcha. But it all ultimately glorifies God. He has ordained it unto that end. Unto that end. All of our weaknesses, all of our misgivings, and all of our forlornness is unto the glory of God ultimately. I wonder if somebody sometime do like me. Beat yourself up. Call yourself names. Oh, yes. But ultimately, all of my shortcomings, all of my undoneness is to God's glory. To testify that it wasn't you, according to my grace. Wasn't about you. Wasn't about me. It was according to God's grace and enablement that kept me from, that ultimately manifested me who I always was, Son of God. Reading on. Each and every blessing spiritual in the heavenlies, and guess where the heavenlies are? In Christ, where all creation is. Colossians 1:16. For in Him were all things created. And through Him and for Him, the visible and the invisible, all things were created in Him. In the heavenlies, and the heavenlies, I don't care how far that microscope can reach, the most powerful microscope, into the heavenlies or the universe, it is all in Christ. All of it is in the Creator. Verse 4, just as He chose us, like blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ, inasmuch or accordingly as He has chosen us in Him. Now, most of Christendom does not agree with this, but it's Scripture. As He has chosen us in Him before creation of world. Before. The Bible says before. It makes no difference what the denomination says. The Word of God, rightly divided and properly exegeted, interpreted from the original language, says before. There's no strange thing. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 1:5, said, He knew me before I was formed in the womb of my mother's belly. And not only that, and He ordained me, He decreed me, He authorized me, He determined me a prophet unto the nations before He was ever even conceived. Before. Just as He chose us in Him before foundation, creation of world, being us set apart. We were set apart from those that were not chosen in Him as His beloved. No, God is not trying to get everybody saved. That's not Scripture. He chose some in Christ, and He rejected others. In the book of Romans, the 9th chapter, speaking of Jacob and Esau, He said, the children being not yet born or having done good or evil. Not even born yet. Not done good or evil. Twins. Same mother, same father, and same egg split. He loved Jacob, and He hated Esau. He chose Jacob. And He did not choose Esau. He was indifferent to Esau. Indifferent. But He loved the rascal, Jacob. because of his choice. Did we not say that he's sovereign? It's his absolute right. God is sovereign. You might not like somebody. You might can't stand them. Despicable. Can't insist them. Even the H word. Hate. If they are God's elect, it may not be manifested while you are looking. And that's part of the problem. Us looking. We can't see who God's elect are. Who would have seen or noticed or known or perceived that the Apostle Paul was the elect of God and an apostle, and he was running around killing, persecuting, making them down the name of Jesus at the threat of their life? Christians. Who would have thought that he was the elect of God and an apostle? The Lord knoweth them that are his. Just as he chose us in himself, or in him, before creation of world, being us set apart, and, get this one, faultless, without blemish, faultless. In God's one decree, we were decreed sinner and saint, saved and sinner in the one decree. Positioned in the body of Christ, saved, set apart, faultless, blameless, and yet in the manifestation of creation and God's placing us in time at our time to manifest sinner according to the flesh. According to the eternal spirit and actualization, that which is real, that which is, that which abides, saint, saved, son of God. No sin, none in the body of Christ. But in the creation of time and the assigning all things in physicality unto worthlessness and vanity, all things, money, car, good looks, strength, health, all subjected unto vanity. It will all fail. When time goes, somebody said in Sunday school, you don't lose nothing because nothing's there. It is for manifestation or testimony only, everything in time. The stuff we're going through, testimony. Christ once suffered for us, the just. For the what? Unjust. The unrighteous. The unlike God according to this. Only God can deal with. I wonder if anybody ever had the can't help it. Hallelujah. Only God. That boasting be excluded and he gets all the glory. Amen. All the praise. Amen. And all the honor. Yes, Lord. Verse 5. Faultless before him, finishing verse 4, faultless before him in love. In love, having predestinated us, I told you it was pre-people, predetermined us, prescribed us as sons, having predestinated us into adoption of sonship, our sonship positioning, through or by means of Jesus Christ, guess where? To himself. To him. To him, I don't care what allurements the world may deceive us with, if we are God's, we belong to him ultimately. No matter how far we drift in delusion or delusionary precepts, ultimately, we belong to him. according to the good pleasure of the will of Him, to the praise of the glory of the grace of Him. Kindness, mercy, goodwill, favor, and it's a gift. We have no merit. It's all of Him, which He bestowed upon us or on us. Notice these first person plurals. We, us. They are continual throughout the context. Us, we, our. First person plural. Not they, them, those. Second person plural. And then sometime third person singular. Whether speaking of a group or an entity or even the Lord. Third person singular. He needs no help. He is God all by Himself. To the praise of the glory of the grace of Him which He bestowed on us in the having been and are loved. Yes. Does God love me? Yes. If you belong to Him, He loves you. But don't anybody else love me? It doesn't matter. If you belong to Him, He loves you. And the Lord, not all the time, but oftentimes, will reveal Himself to us that we belong to Him and won't leave us alone. Some things we try, He blocked. Some things we don't try, He calls it. Some things we can't do, He enables it. Some things we want to do, ran to do, can't help wanting to do, He blocks it. We belong to Him. Mm-hmm. Having been and are loved. What can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? There's a litany of things in Romans, praise God, the seventh chapter, I believe it is. And when you get through with that litany of things, He say, nor any other in creation. That Greek word is creation, not creature. No, but covers creatures. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. But if the Lord purposed to take a child out or a babe out, or the mentally incompetent out that did not have the capacity to comprehend and know that he belonged to the Lord, remember, He chose us in Him before we came into this weak, finite flesh. We are completed in Him in eternity. He just manifested us in time as a little baby not able to comprehend or the mentally incapable. He purposed that. For whose glory? God's glory. But most of us, we come to comprehension and the Lord reveals Himself unto us. But He don't have to do it that way. We are eternally complete in Him without having ever entered in. This is testimony. Creation, time. It's like a viewing of what God has purposed and done. Everything, all of it. It's testimony. And it plays out in processes. But God has determined, according to purpose, how the processes flow. In whom? In whom? You're never out of this whom. In whom we have the redemption. The redemption means the deliverance, the setting free, the release on payment of a ransom through or by means of, and here is the redemption price, the blood of Him. That's not all we have. We have the forgiveness of the sins, the cancellation of the sins, all the wrongdoings that we have done. We have the cancellation. We're not trying to get it. We get it. It was determined in eternity. We have the cancellation or the forgiveness of the sins, or if you don't want to call it sins, how about wrongdoings? We have the forgiveness of it according to the richness of the grace of Him, so that ultimately nobody can say, look what I did. Nobody. Nobody can say, look at me. Look what I'm doing or what I did. It's all according to the richness of His grace. Of the grace of Him. Which He made. He made in eternity to abound to us. In each and every wisdom and intelligence or insight. He made these things. Abound to us. Let me hurry and read the definition of this word, this Greek word for abound, so I can get to our document. Abound means superabound. We just flooded, inundated in blessings, in the grace of God. I mean just flooded, flooded out. Superabound in quantity or quality and quality. It means to be in excess. His grace has abounded unto us in excess. It excels. It is more in abundance, God's grace unto us. It is better, it is enough, and to spare God's grace. You can't be lost. No way. If you belong to Him, you can't be ruined. You can't be left out undone. It exceeds. It's enough to be left over and have a remain. It's over and above. You ever heard the expression over the top? It's over and above. Now to the document. Set in front of you, above your Bible, the document. God's sovereignty in election to salvation. God's sovereignty in election to salvation. I see what Pastor B up against now when he has the document and the scripture trying to convey what's in his spirit in one setting. God's sovereignty, I've explained those things. Sovereignty, absolute right, ultimate, supreme power in election. Election means choice, choosing. Be no mistake about it. God chose us in Him, as we read in Ephesians 3, to salvation, deliverance from sin and its consequences, from harm and ruin. He preserved us and delivered us from loss. Our salvation is our eternal relationship in position in Christ Jesus. And God did that. Now, the Grace Gospel Church ministry believes and teaches, reading from the first paragraph, believes and teaches the absolute sovereignty of God in election of individuals to salvation. That's why I went to the scripture first. Rightly divided and properly exegeted. That was the exegesis of the scriptures, not any rendition, King James, New King James, New World, or otherwise. That was exegesis from the scripture documents in the original language, which is Greek. We believe that our designated assignments of everlasting life. Sound familiar to the scripture we just read? We believe that our designated assignments to everlasting life, we have been assigned everlasting life, were preordained. There's that pre again. or determined. Preordained means determined. God determined it in eternity before the creation of the world. We fully realize that this doctrinal position has been disputed and contested from the time of our beloved Apostle Paul when he wrote his epistles until the present. And will continue to be debated up to the moment of our Lord Jesus coming for his church, which is the body of Christ. Say the body of Christ, you're talking about the church, not the church in the wilderness, Old Testament, Israel, but the church, which is his body. They're synonymous. The writings herein are intended to allow the scriptures, the word of God, properly exegeted and rightly divided according to dispensation and covenantal arrangements. We are in the grace dispensation. The gospel is grace, and the gospel is in and of the mystery. That which was hidden of God from the ages, it was hidden. Nobody knew it. None of the prophets knew it in the Old Testament or covenant. Until Peter, James, and John, them didn't know it. Until it was revealed unto the Apostle Paul for the grace church, which is Christ's body, made up of both Jew and Gentile. We lose ethnic and physical distinctions in the body of Christ. No ethnicity in the body of Christ. No big eyes and little U's. None of that. No rich and poor in the body of Christ. We are body members, and members in particular out of part of the body. All those physical precepts and contingencies, they stay here until time is no more and they are over. But none of that. He got Lord like him more than me. Gave him more than none of that in the body of Christ. So properly exegeted and rightly divided to convey the truth in love. We convey this truth in love. We pray that God will give illumination and elucidation. That is explanation that makes something clear. That's what elucidation is. According to his will, everyone will not receive and perceive because to perceive to the same degree. But according as God has determined to each, that one will perceive and receive comprehension as God has determined. But all are equally body members and equally loved. Amen. No little I's and big U's. None of that. That stays here. We only ask that God's people will read our commentary of the following verses of Ephesians chapter 1 as well as other supporting scriptures with an open heart and give all the praise and credit to him for his magnificent deeds. Ephesians 1:3 reads, and this is from the King James Version, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual," this is the way the King James rendering, "with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." That's why I gave you the exegeted scriptures first. Now the translation from the Greek text. This is from the Greek text. "Blessed is high praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every blessing in the heavenlies in Christ." There's nothing left out. We are heirs of God. Heirs. We all have a part and a lot as an heir of God. None diminished. Equal share and lot and portion. Heirs of God and joint heirs of that which belonged to Christ. And may I add, all of that. And he is the creator. And in him is all creation, visible and invisible. Whatever it is in him, and we are an heir of it. The contents of this verse from the prefacing or the introductory statement in and of the succeeding verses of chapter 1 delineating, that is, describe or portraying precisely God's eternal work of salvation prior, God's eternal work of salvation prior to creation. Prior, before creation, as we read. Note the Greek adjective, rendered blessed, is as it is derived from the compound words ev and lego, literally meaning to speak well of, to extol, or to exalt, one worthy of blessing and praise. Hence, to highly praise. Highly praise God for his workings regarding us. Here, the Apostle Paul directs the accolade to God the Father, who in performing the acts described in the succeeding verses, has highly favored those who are the beneficiaries of his deeds. Plainly stated, our blessings are the direct result of God's eternal decree. He ordered by the ultimate, absolute authority, God. The historical setting documents the fact that God was the prime mover and initiator of the salvation process as he dwelled alone in eternity. Thus, it is he who has blessed us. As the aorist participle refers to that which occurred prior to the action that precipitated the praise, blessed. Aorist tense means a completed action in eternity. When was it complete? It was always completed in eternity. Our finite minds cannot accurately get the concept of eternity, always was, never was not. We are finite creatures, but when our consciousness go with our bodies are left in time, and our consciousness are caused to resonate in eternality, like Paul was outside of Lystra when he was stoned, he was knocked unconscious, and he was called up to the third heavens. He had sensibility. How you know you're in the third heavens? He knew. Amen. So we will also know beyond a doubt. We will be infinitely enabled. Infinitely enabled. Everything here is limited. Thus, it is he who has blessed us, as the aorist participle refers to that which occurred prior to the action that precipitated the praise. It is a fact that if God had not decreed initial blessing or beginning blessing, there would not only be any initiative or introductory step, but neither would there be any ability for his elect to praise him. And here's why. It is very important for all to understand that it is impossible for a sinner, as we are manifested in depravity in this flesh, in time, in creation, it is impossible for a sinner who is enrolled in depravity to come to or bless or praise him apart from God providing the initiative. He has to cause us to praise him. Otherwise, we cannot. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. The contents of the next phrase, with or in every spiritual blessing, answers a very important question, such as, what is the nature of the blessings of God's elect in the dispensation of grace that we are in that has existed now for approximately 2,000 years in the dispensation of grace. The Greek adjective, spiritual, denotes that which is invisible, as the wind, referencing John 3 and 8, and it is on the same plateau as God. When Paul was knocked unconscious, stoned, thought to death outside of Lystra, he was still on the ground, but his consciousness was transported into heavens, in the spiritual realm. He was physically unconscious. You medical people know more about that than me. So it spiritually denotes that which is invisible as the wind and on the same plateau as God, referencing John 4:24. Here, we note that the Greek noun, evlogia, rendered blessing, is singular, referring to every individual blessing. Thus, every favor, every gift, and every benefit, that is kindness, favor, and advantage, all work or every good and benevolent provision. Benevolent means that which is kindly, charitable, and well-meaning. In the Methodist Church, we used to have the old benevolent offering. We were doing well to those that lacked most of us. Benevolent provision. Provision means to foresee, to see before, to foresee, attend to. God foresaw and attended to us because he foreordained. Well, our lot. Attended to. It is the action of providing or supplying something for use. So, in every benevolent provision that is identified is supplied to bring, that is, to appoint to a specified position designated, to appoint to a specific or specified position designated, depraved. You notice why I say designated? Because all sin according to the decree of God, but all are not God's elect. Designated sinners. Those that will assign depravity and a sin nature, but they are his children actually. Really, truly, the real deal. Eternally. Designated depraved sinners into an eternal living relationship with God. Hence, spiritual blessings are identified in the context of Ephesians chapter 1 as follows. 1, he chose us. He elected some individuals before the creation of the world to be separated unto him. This entailed an approved standing, and that standing is that we are blameless. No matter how many folk point the finger at you while you're here in the flesh, there's no loss, there's no harm, there's no ruin. We pray God to enable us, but ultimately, nothing's lost. Nothing is lost, no loss. Our standing is blameless before him. And that's in verse 4. Secondly, he foreordained or preordained us to positions of sons. That's in verse 5. Thirdly, he positioned us to be heirs of God according to his purpose and will. That's down in verse 11. Fourthly, he sealed us with the Holy Spirit until redemption. He sealed us with the Holy Spirit. My God, what a seal. Seal means kept, to keep. It's a guarantee of God. Oh my God, what could hinder it? What could stop it? What could derail it? It's a guarantee of God. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption, the act of buying back with and for a price. And that price was Christ's blood, which has already been shed. the redemption of those whom he purchased with his blood. That's in verse 13 and 14. Notice that these spiritual, invisible, or unseen eternal things, as I spoke earlier and quoted 2 Corinthians 4:18, are in stark contrast to the emphasis of physical blessings. The spiritual is in stark contrast to the physical blessings in the dispensations prior to the grace dispensation and subsequent to, which would be the kingdom, the grace dispensation age. Thus, we believe that the elect of this age, this dispensation, position in the body of Christ, there was God's elect in all the ages, but we are in the grace age. We are positioned in the body of Christ, only us, in the grace dispensation age, and are distinguished from the Old Testament saints in that the promises are all spiritual regarding us rather than physical. These spiritual blessings are further delineated in Romans 8:28-30. You can read it. It is noteworthy to establish the inferences of the Greek pronouns, eimon, eimos, translated we, our, and us. That's why I brought attention to those earlier, us and our, as they are evident throughout the context. In each instance, they are first person plural, referencing individual persons, not groups or groupings, such as the body of Christ or the church. Those are groups or groupings. But we are individually saved, individual blessings, which is designated, church and body of Christ, designated third person singular. We believe that this refutes the idea of so-called corporate election for this age. God saved the church and we got to believe on Christ to get in. Nonsense scripturally. Nonsense scripturally. We were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. The last phrase of Ephesians 1:3, going over just a little bit, just a little bit. Translated in the heavenlies in Christ, identifies the locale of the spiritual blessings. They're in the heavenlies, and all of the heavenlies, as all creation, is in Christ. The Greek word that is noted there is derived from epi prefix to uranos. This compound word etymologically, which is the origin and history of the word, denotes upon or in heaven. This heavenly location is truly distinguished from anything earthly located, referencing 1 Corinthians 15:40 and Ephesians 1:20. The heavenly position of Christ at the right hand of God authenticates the distinct sphere of the heavenlies and position believers in the grace dispensation occupy in him, referencing Ephesians 2 and 6. Note, every single one of these spiritual blessings is in Christ, in the sphere of him, dependent upon him, who he is, via his substitutionary death for his elect only. Thus, this heavenly positioning in Christ is inseparable from our relation to him in his body, the church. Now, as we move, and concluding right here, into the body of the context, it should become apparent from the historical position in eternity that the total work of salvation is a solo act, namely God alone. God bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to pray God's blessing of illumination and enlightenment. And we thank him for his word and his teaching through his chosen vessel.